go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Welcome to Between the Trenches, episode 16, the episode where we preview the week 3 action upcoming. I'm joined by the normal Between the Trenches crew, Mitch Sanderson. How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. Eli had a good night for me last night in fantasy world.
How about you, Rob? How you doing, bud?
I never like seeing Eli do very well, so I'm doing fine, though. Thank you for asking.
That's great. And you, as usual, I'm here as well, Dwayne Turner, and I guess we're already talking about it, so we might as well get into that Thursday night game. Redskins went to New York to take on the Giants and ended up losing 32-21. And yeah, it was not a great game to watch, but in the end, the Giants are 1-2. Redskins are 1-2. Mitch, what are your takeaways from this game?
Well, I think the Giants, this was a must win for them, and they made the point of before the game coming together as a group, having a players only meeting, kind of led by John Beeson and Eli Manning, to really get this group together, because this is a team that, you know, we talked about in the preseason that every 4 years or so they make a Super Bowl run, and they don't always start off these seasons the prettiest. So they just want to make sure that they're getting on the right page. They're hoping to have Victor Cruz get back next week, so that's a big bump for them. I think we saw, you know, it was an ugly game for sure on a Thursday night, but the Giants did what they had to do to get it done, and they, you know, kicked field goals. They got the safety at the beginning of the game on the block punt, and they, you know, they allowed Kirk Cousins to go for 300 yards, but they shut down that run game. They got a couple picks off of them. You know, it's like we say, these Thursday night games are not pretty, but you know, it was at least a step in the right direction for the Giants. Probably a step in the direction we expected for the Redskins.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up the fact that, you know, you bring up those Super Bowl years for the Giants, and it's funny, I think it was in 2007, one of the two, I can't remember which Super Bowl year, I think it was 2007, when they went 0-2 and faced the Redskins similarly on week 3, and it was not a must win because, you know, until you really have to win that game, it's not a must win, and to say that it's a must win in week 3 is kind of hard to imagine, but they ended up winning that game and obviously going on to win that Super Bowl. And who knows, maybe this is a step in the right direction. The NFC East is wide open, as we know.
Absolutely.
Kirk Cousins, I have to say, he was really bad last night. I know you mentioned that he didn't have much of a running game to rely on. Matt Jones got the bulk of the carries. Alfred Morris, I think he had 4 carries in that game, and he didn't do much with them. So he didn't have much of a running game, but Kirk Cousins really was not. He did not play well. He turned the ball over, and on top of that, the passes that he did make, a lot of his receivers had to make adjustments just to be able to catch them. Mm-hmm. So he didn't give them a chance to really run after the catch. My takeaway for the Giants is I thought it was great to see Reuben Randall kind of go off for Eli Manning. Odell Beckham Jr. is getting so much attention right now, especially with Victor Cruz out, and to have that secondary option until he does return is great for him. He went for over 116 yards and a touchdown, that little fluky touchdown. That
I don't know, man. I wouldn't call that a fluke. I think that was a tough touchdown. He basically had to catch a rebound off the corner's shoulders.
Right.
It wasn't the cleanest catch.
Breland should have done better to knock the ball down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but it was still difficult.
To be able
Breland
to concentrate.
Got beat on both those touchdowns, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, and we should also mention that D'Angelo Hall left the game, too.
Yeah.
So, speaking of
and
Washington,
that's something I want to kind of bring up quietly. I usually am kind of a D'Angelo Hall basher. I don't really like the guy based on his track record before, but there was a cool story that came out of the game. Post-game last night, he's walking to the locker room after he's hurt. A little boy sees him. He says, "Hey, D'Angelo, I'm going to pray for you. I hope you do well." And he said, "I needed that." Takes his jersey off his back, just like Mean Joe Green, signs it, and gives it to D'Angelo Hall. And that's pretty cool. I don't know if I'm still a D'Angelo Hall fan or anything now. But that was certainly, you know, that's a cool moment to see after the game. Sean O'Hara from the NFL Network captured that one.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, he's going to be a loss for them if he misses extended time. But at least he'll now have 10 days at least with playing this Thursday night game to get ready. So, yeah, we'll see how these two teams go forward.
What do you say we get into our week 3 previews?
Let's do it. We start off with Rob's favorite team, no?
Who we got starting off here, Dwayne?
Falcons and Cowboys.
All right, well, this is a fun one to start off with because this is my upset of the week.
Ooh.
So Cowboys have lost Romo. We talked about it. They look like Witten's actually going to be in the lineup, surprisingly. Or not surprisingly,
I'm not surprised.
But yeah, I got the Cowboys winning this one 21-17. I think the Cowboys are in better spot than people are giving them credit for. They've still got a really, really good offensive line. But my key to this game, I think the Falcons, they played two really good defensive games to start the season off under Dan Quinn. I don't think they're still the same group of guys that were one of the worst defenses in the league last year. I think they're going to be a little overconfident coming into this one. I think they're going to say, hey, we got Brandon Weeden. We're going to be picking him off all day. And they still have to face a great offensive line. Their defensive line is not the strength of that team right now. Their linebackers have done pretty well, I think. I think the Cowboys are going to be a bit of a surprise. And if they can go, we talked about it before, at the end of the last game. If they can go 500 or so without Tony Romo in the lineup, they're going to be fine. This division's still wide open.
Okay. I think it's going to be a very close game. I don't have the Cowboys winning. I think that the Falcons take it 27-23. I think for me, well, let me ask this question for both of you. What do you think the split's going to be run pass for Brandon Weeden and that Cowboys offense?
I think you got to run the ball a little more, but they were never afraid to run the ball last year when they had Romo, who historically, QB rating wise, he's up there and a lot better running back. I think way worse quarterback, way worse running game. You got to, it's like Mitch said, you got to ride those big boys on the O-line, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a 60-40 split.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking even more than that. I'm thinking almost 70-30 just because it is Brandon Weeden leading that offense. So I guess for me, I think this is going to be a very close game going into that fourth quarter. I think that, like I said, I think it's going to be 27-23. I think that Desmond Trufant on Terrence Williams is a lot different than Byron Maxwell on Terrence Williams. Sorry. So I think that Terrence Williams is a very fast and shifty receiver, and I think that's somebody that Trufant can keep up with. Like I said, Maxwell, he doesn't have the agility to be able to stick with him. So I think that that's going to be definitely a matchup that Atlanta will be able to win. I think that Vic Beasley, he's going against probably the best young left tackle in the game on that offensive line for Dallas. But I think that he might be able to cause some fits late in that game once he starts to wear that offensive line down. So I'm going to say 27-23, but I think, like I said, I think it's going to be a 70-30 split in terms of the running game. I think that they're going to lean on it heavily, and then what's going to end up happening is that the Cowboys are going to have to try and come back, and that might be somewhere where we see Brandon Weeden cause some sort of...
I would say, I don't know what the split is in terms of percentage will be, but I think if Brandon Weeden has to throw the ball more than 25 times, that's probably an issue. Mm-hmm. But they have that kind of trio now with Randall and McFadden, and you see Dunbar making a lot of plays too. So I think I think the offensive line's key to victory there. But
sure.
That'll be a closer game than I think we might have expected initially when we heard all these Cowboys injuries.
Absolutely.
All right, should we go? This next game, Colts and Titans. I don't know, man. Last week I said that Andrew Luck will not allow the Jets or the Colts to go 0-2 to the Jets. And I'm basically going with the same reasoning here. I just don't think he'll allow it. But I feel a lot like I don't feel very confident in just that reasoning alone, because Tennessee is not an easy out. They had some fumble issues last week against the Browns that really cost them the game, and they allowed some big plays. I think they're going to try and clean that up as much as they can. This will be the first time that Andrew Luck plays a Dick LeBeau Tennessee Titans defense. I still have the Colts winning this one 23-18, but I think it'll be, like I said, 23-18. I think it'll be close.
Okay, that's a really close game. For me, I don't think this is close at all. I think that we're going to see Andrew Luck, and we're going to see him slinging that ball very early, because I think they're going to take advantage of what I think is a bit of a weak secondary right now. I think that they're going to win this 40-24, and I think that a good portion of those 24 points for the Titans are going to come late in the game in garbage time for them to, you know, somewhat put some points on the board.
Are you worried at all? Vontae Davis is still banged up. Is that worry at all? The corners for the Colts really looked weak without him out there against the Jets.
Yeah, no, it could. But you know what? I think what's going to end up happening is I could see, you know, Robert Mathis finally got into a game last year, or last week, sorry, against the Jets. And him along with Beyon Warner, and they had another talented guy who came off. He was actually impressive in the Jets game, one of their defensive ends.
Yeah, the rookie there.
Yeah, was it a third-round pick?
Yeah, he was a guy that, I want to say Henry Anderson.
Okay, something like that. But he was impressive last week against the Jets. And I think that if they can frustrate Marcus Mariota from early on with that pass rush, because that's what they're really going to have to rely on. Because you're right. I mean, if Vontae Davis doesn't play, they're down to really third, four, five string cornerbacks.
Yeah, Greg Toler would be their number one corner without
and that's not a good sign for anybody. So, yeah, I think that they're going to have to rely on that pass rush. The linebackers are something that kind of worries me, because if they do get beyond that first line, we've seen what we saw what Chris Ivory did last week against them. So
now the Titans don't have one of those power backs. That's one thing that
exactly Bishop Sankey, and yeah, no, I'm not too worried about those running backs causing any fits. So yeah, I think that pass rush will be able to affect the Titans early, and yeah, 40-24 is my score. I just don't see them
All right, so we move on to two teams now that had kind of surprise victories last week. I would call surprise victories anyways. The Oakland Raiders at the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
Now, in this one, I've got now you guys know me. I'm not a Manziel fan. I don't believe in the guy, but he's not going to be in the lineup this week, and I don't think McCown's really going to be that much better. I've got the Raiders winning this one 18-13. I think it'll be close because both teams kind of have a decent defense. But I like Derek Carr, what he put up last week, and Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's going to have his hands full with Joe Hayden, though. That'll be a good test early on in his career.
Okay, for me, we're disagreeing early here, Mitch. Right. I've got the Browns winning this 14-10. I think that we have to start factoring the fact that a lot of these West Coast teams are going to the East Coast for 1 o'clock games. These are essentially 10 o'clock in the morning games for them. So Oakland's going to Cleveland to play them, and I think that's something that's going to factor into it. Again, though, I do think it's going to be a close game, 14-10. I think that the Browns win. You're right. Josh McCown is not much better than Johnny Manziel, but I think he does enough, you know, throwing to Dwayne Bowe, to Travis Benjamin. We saw him have a huge game last week, and does enough to rely on that running game along with, you know, with Duke Johnson and company as well to be able to seal this win.
All right, man. So now we go on to, I think, you know, it'll be good. I don't think either one of those teams is really I don't think either one of these teams is going to surprise anybody at the end of the season, but this is going to be a good test for both of them early on.
It's kind of crazy that one of these teams are going to be 2-1 no matter what.
Yeah, that's after week three. So they're both 1-1 to start off. So now we go to a team, the AFC North, Bengals and Ravens. John Harbaugh called the Bengals the most talented team in the NFL this year. And I, you know, outside of quarterback, I'm hard-pressed to disagree with him.
That's the thing. I mean, the Bengals have always had a really great team, like from offensive and defensive.
I'm always very impressed with the Bengals draft.
I mean, it's never been an issue with depth or just with talent all around, but you're right. It's the quarterback position that's always halted them and had a, you know, I guess held them back, especially going into the playoffs. So how do you see this game going?
I think this is going to be kind of a lower scoring game. I got the Bengals winning this one, 20-13 at the Ravens.
Okay.
I think that the Bengals did a really, really good job of shutting down Keenan Allen, especially in the Chargers game last week. The Ravens are kind of low on weapons. I think they're going to make it really tough for Joe Flacco to get it to the guys he wants to get it to. And that run defense, that defensive line is going to be tough. Justin Forsett hasn't had the start he's wanted to have so far. So, yeah, I've got Bengals winning that one by a touchdown.
Okay, so for me, I actually have the Ravens winning this. I think they're going to be – they take it 28-21. This really is a must win for the Ravens. They can't fall to 0-3 and then lose a game in the division to the Bengals and here in the AFC North. Phillip Rivers, you know, despite the loss, still put up an astounding quarterback rating, and I think that Flacco can do the same. I know he doesn't have the weapons, but he has a much better offensive line, so I think he'll have all day to be able to sit there and make the passes he needs to. You're right, though. Justin Forsett, he hasn't really gotten off to the start he probably wanted, but I could see him having a decently good game this, and that could set up a lot of the play action.
Are you worried at all about the Ravens giving up 37 points last week to the Raiders?
That was disappointing, but I think that was more for them transitioning without Terrell Suggs. I think one more extra week now to prepare for the fact that he won't be there any longer. Jason Babin, we'll see if he gets into the game and produces alongside Elvis Dumervil, because Elvis Dumervil, now that you know that Terrell Suggs isn't on the other side, that forces them to forces other teams to, you know, double team that side and make sure that he doesn't wreck the opposing offense. But if Jason Babin can cause some pressure on his end, then I think that the defense will be fine. And I expect a bounce back game from Jimmy Smith, because he's somebody I thought was going to bottle up Amari Cooper a week ago, and he didn't do that. So
he's going to have his hands full with AJ Green.
AJ Green, yeah. So great battle to
watch. They're
going to
need, I think that's going to be a must for the Ravens. They're going to need Jimmy Smith to have a big game.
Absolutely.
So we go on now to one that I think we don't need to spend much time on, Patriots Jaguars. The Jaguars, you know, had an impressive win last week against the Dolphins. They pulled one out, came back late. But I don't think the Pats are just rolling right now, and they're going to have no answer for Gronkowski or Edelman. I got the Pats 42, Jags 17. Jags probably score some points in garbage time.
So 17 is garbage time point. Okay, so I have this 33-20. I think that this is going to sound crazy, but I do think that going into this third quarter, this is going to be a lot closer than it should be. And I have a feeling that what ends up happening is the Patriots end up just pulling away in the fourth and score probably, you know, two touchdowns or whatnot. The Jaguars, they have to be confident going into this game. They really don't have anything to lose. They're coming off of a win. Nobody's expecting them to win. I think they're 13.5 underdogs, a point underdogs. So, yeah, I think that Blake Bortles is going to be able to build off of what he did last week, but I do think that what's going to end up happening is kind of like Brandon Whedon in the Cowboys game. He's going to be forced to pass the ball a lot in that fourth quarter to try and get his team back into the game, and he could revert back to the old Blake Bortles, who would turn over the ball. So, yeah, that's what's going to end up happening. I think 33-20, Patriots win it. And look, they're almost unbeatable at home, especially against the AFC. There's some sort of crazy stat where they haven't lost against an AFC team at home in a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you may be right, because the Jags do have some confidence going into this one, but I don't see any way the Patriots let this one get out of their hands. Going to another one that I don't really see being that close, and I'm kind of sad to say that, but the Panthers and the Saints may be without Drew Brees. I've said in the preseason, I don't think that Cam Newton can go a whole season running the ball 15 times a game, but I do think he can win this game in week three doing that, because the Saints don't have any, they don't have a good pass rush. They don't have like an athletic linebacker who can spy Cam Newton. They don't really have a top corner right now who's going to, you know, I think Brandon Browner will probably shut down Devin Funchess, because that's the exact type of player that he's supposed to, he's used to working on, and Devin Funchess is a rookie. But I see Cam running for a lot. I think Cam probably running for 100 yards in this game. Wow. Because I just don't – who's going to tackle him for the Saints, really? Who's going to get him on the ground?
Okay.
It's going to be two or three guys every time.
Mm-hmm.
It could be kind of an ugly one, to be quite honest with you. But I have the Carolina Panthers winning this game 27-17.
Okay. Yeah, no, I could see the game going similarly, like just like you mentioned. I think that – the Saints end up losing 20-14. I think that, yeah, Cam Newton, there's going to be a lot of read option that the Saints are not going to be prepared for. I think that Greg Olsen could have a huge game, because those linebackers, I don't know who's going to be able to cover him.
No, and Jarris Bird would be the guy that you'd think maybe, but right. Jarris Bird is right now questionable to be in that game at best.
Wow. Okay. So there you go. I think that I'm glad you mentioned the offensive line or the pass rush of the New Orleans Saints. They're not going to be able to take advantage of what's not a good offensive line in Carolina.
You know, we should mention, though, that Carolina did play very well against the Texans last week. J.J. Watt only had one sack, and he was pancaked once, which, like, never happened.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think we should give a little more credit to the Panthers. They certainly don't have an experienced offensive line, but, yeah, I think they'll be able to get it done. The only real guy that poses a threat on the Saints' D-line is Cameron Jordan, and he's really not that much of a pass rusher. He's more of a run guy.
Also, I wouldn't be surprised if the Carolina Panthers return some sort of interception or fumble against the Saints, because I'm interested to see how Drew plays. Because I think Drew Brees will play.
Probably will force himself to play.
But it's going to – I just don't want
to
see that.
One guy to look out for, I think fantasy-wise, and sort of a sit-em role, is Brandon Cooks. I don't think Brandon Cooks is going to have a good game. He's going to be matched up against Josh Norman, who's had a pick in both of his first two games this season. And he's played really well. Brandon Cooks was supposed to eat up that Tampa Bay defense last week, and he didn't did anything.
Nope.
All right. Let's move on to another 1 o'clock. From my team to your team, the Eagles going to New York, taking on the Jets, who have, like we've seen, an unreal defense. I'm kind of becoming a fan of this Jets team. I think that they're a Todd Bowles-built team. Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're not asking him to do too much. I've got the Jets. And now I think the Eagles need to get the run game going, and this is not the game where they get it going. So I got Jets 24, Eagles 13.
Okay. Call me a homer, but I'm taking the Eagles 24-17.
Oh, no.
Look, you know what? Here's the thing. The run game is a disaster. And it doesn't help that you're playing that defensive line in New York. But I think that what's going to end up happening is they're going to try and scrap that very early. I think that they're going to have to go to the short passing game that Bradford thrives on. The defense of the Eagles has been almost decimated. Kiko Alonso is out. Michael Kendricks is questionable. Cedric Thornton is out. But I think that, especially in the secondary, I think that they could have a bit more success. And Rob is laughing over here. But I think they could have a lot more success in the secondary. Byron Maxwell is going to be probably matched up with Brandon Marshall, and I think that's a better matchup for him than he's faced in Julio Jones and Terrence Williams. Because Terrence Williams, like I said, he's a guy who is shifty and fast. He can't keep up with him. Julio Jones is probably the most complete wide receiver in the game right now. Brandon Marshall doesn't have the speed that Terrence Williams has, but he has the length that can beat people so that Ryan Fitzpatrick can kind of just throw it in his vicinity and he can catch the ball. So I think that they limit the amount of points that the Jets can that the Jets have been putting up recently. And if they can force some turnovers from Ryan Fitzpatrick, then I think that they can be successful. It's going to be a close game, 24-17, a touchdown game. I think that they're going to be inspired with DeMarco Murray playing too.
What I'm hearing is Dwayne needs Zach Ertz to go off in fantasy this week because he hasn't had the hottest start. And 3 touchdowns for Ertz.
Well, the thing is the Jets are really good playing against tight ends too, so I don't even expect Ertz to have a great game. Aguilar would be nice for my fantasy
team. That's right.
But other than that, yeah, I just they have to win this game if they want to have any chance in the division.
I mean, you're probably right there in terms of the division. I don't know, man. That Jets defense, they tore apart the Colts offense, and the Colts have a good offense.
And a great quarterback.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Good luck there.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
So let's go on to one. I think we have another disagreement on this one. The Bucs and the Texans. Now, I've got the Texans winning this one 15-10, and I think it's said and done on one spot.
I know what it is.
Go ahead. Bucs offensive line got totally destroyed by the Titans defensive line, who are a mediocre group, probably with a couple tall, solid players. The Texans have an unreal defensive line. I just don't see how they're going to get anything done. And that J.J. Watt, who hasn't had through 2 games, hasn't had a crazy start. They're 0-2. I think this is an opportunity for J.J. Watt to win a game, not by himself, but lead the team to victory with that off. Facing those offensive linemen. Yeah, so I think it's a low score, 15-10. DeAndre Hopkins questionably being out of the lineup, it could be huge for the Texans. I think it's over and said and done on the line.
Okay, so for me, yeah, this is my upset of the week. I'm taking the Bucs over the Texans. For me, it's 2 things. You mentioned that defensive line led by J.J. Watt of the Texans. My issue is that last week they were facing a similarly bad offensive line in Carolina, and they didn't capitalize there, and they weren't able to be as successful as we probably thought they would have. Carolina ended up winning the game. And another thing is Ryan Mallett, who in a game and a quarter has yet to complete 50% of his passes. So I think that I don't want to say he's holding back the offense, because really I don't think Brian Hoyer stepping in is going to be much better. But you combine that with the fact that, like you said, DeAndre Hopkins is questionable for this game. I don't know where a lot of these points are going to come from for the Texans. And I think that if they if they can find a way to protect Jameis Winston long enough, then he can have a similar game that he had last week against your Saints. You know, 14 for 21, just over 200 yards. I think that'll be enough. And look, Mike Evans is going to be hopefully 1 week healthier, so you'll have him. I know Austin Seferian
still he had no catches last week.
Right, exactly. So I think that is exactly. So he only has to be better than the next week. Vincent Jackson had a great game, so he's clearly got a lot left in the tank. Austin Seferian Jenkins is out, but they'll have other tight ends to be able to fill in. So yeah, I think that they'll be able. This is my upset. I really think that the Buccaneers have a good shot at beating the Texans this week, which is disappointing because I had high hopes for the Texans going into the year, and falling to 0-3 would not live up to that.
Yeah, no, I think that's I agree. I think the Texans, that's part of the reason I'm picking Texans. I just don't know if Bill O'Brien and J.J. Watt, those guys allow themselves to go 0-3.
Fair enough.
So another one here, I think this is one of the best games of the week. I had a tough time picking this one. The Chargers go to the Minnesota Vikings. These are two teams that you had high hopes for at the beginning, you know, early on in the year.
Right.
I've got the Vikings winning this one, 2016. I think we kind of saw the Bengals expose some of the Chargers' run defense issues last week, and now they're playing Adrian Peterson. And, you know, we saw last week the Vikings fixed that Adrian Peterson issue from the week one pretty quickly. He had 10 carries in week one. He had 10 carries in the first quarter of week two. So I think the answer there is Adrian Peterson gets the ball. I still like Phillip Rivers, but I think Zimmer has that defense, that Vikings defense, in a similar game plan to the Bengals, where they'll try and take away Keenan Allen, and they've got better corners. So that's my shot. I think the Vikings take it 2016.
Okay, I have this. This is gonna go against what I kind of said for the Raiders and Browns, how you have a West Coast team going to the East Coast, but I'm taking the Chargers. Like you said, I was big on both of these teams going into the season, but I'm still a bit disappointed with what Minnesota has done up until now. I know they're 1-1. They had a great win last week, but Teddy Bridgewater, I still haven't seen him kind of open it up in this offense. Adrian Peterson was an absolute beast last week. You're right, and that could be something that hurts this Chargers offense. You know, that defensive front, but I really like the San Diego secondary. I think that that's something that could really frustrate Teddy Bridgewater, maybe turn him over a few once or twice. And Phillip Rivers, I mean, despite the loss to Cincinnati last week, he still put up a fantastic QBR. He's a guy who's playing really well, you know, coming off of that big contract extension. So I think that, yes, Keenan Allen might be somebody who could be bottled up, but he has a lot of other guys that can step in and do the job at wide receiver if that ends up being the case. So I've got the Chargers winning 27-24. It'll definitely be a very close game, and it will definitely be one of the best games to watch this weekend.
All right, man. I'm glad we're finally not green on everything. Makes the show a little more different. A little better. All right, we go to the last game of the 1 o'clock set. Oh, Rob, did you have something to say there?
Well, I just thought for that game there, one of the cool storylines: North Turner facing the Chargers for the first time.
Another
back his old team.
From that, the last time that Adrian Peterson played the Chargers was the 296 game. That's the record game. So this is his. You know, this is his.
Could be a doozy. I'm excited for this one too, boys. Yeah, I had to pipe up and say something for this game. You know,
anytime, buddy. Anytime.
Thanks for checking in. But now we got the Steelers and the Rams. Rams coming off a disappointing loss to the Redskins last week. And the Steelers blew away the 49ers in a game that I thought would be close, and I was way off.
So did I. Don't worry about it, man.
Yeah, and I got the Pittsburgh. You know, they got Le'Veon Bell coming back. I think that's so big for them right now because they basically, you know, they had like a little monster going with Big Ben and Antonio Brown and Martavius Bryant, Le'Veon Bell, and then anchored by that pouncy offensive line. And now they lost three of those pieces in the preseason or in the offseason. They get one back, arguably the biggest piece back. They go on the road. I think they take this one 28-20. I think Ben has a good game. They, you know, the Redskins kind of exposed the Steelers or the Rams defense last week, which we thought looked pretty good coming out of the Seattle game.
For sure.
But, yeah, I think Le'Veon Bell is the key to that coming back. He just adds something different in the run game and the pass game. Pittsburgh 28, Rams 20.
Okay, well, we've been disagreeing so far, but we're really close on this one. I have the Steelers winning 28-21. I think that this is going to be a great test to see that Steelers offensive line. Pouncey is out, but they played incredible against that Rams defensive front. A lot of scouts and experts have that Rams defensive line is one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL. So I can't wait to see those two sides go at it.
I think I'd have to agree with that too. Just in terms of talent,
yeah.
On that, they got five guys who are, Pro Bowl players.
Exactly. I mean, if you have Nick Fairley just coming in sparing,
yeah,
that means you're pretty stacked. So, I just want to see those two teams go at it. But I think what's going to end up happening, I think the Rams need to score at least 24 to have a good shot at winning this game. And I think that offensively, to only put up 10 points against the Rams, that's disappointing. And mm-hmm. I know they scored 34 in their upset win against Seattle, but to go down to just 10 against Washington, that's not encouraging. What is encouraging though is the fact that Todd Gurley is probable for this game. So the Rams could finally see Todd Gurley, and
that would be a really good running back matchup if Gurley and Bell are both going at it. Both have good games. Those are both special guys.
And also look out for Ryan Shazier. He had a great game last week against San Francisco and helped to limit what was a great offensive running back game or a great running game for the San Francisco 49ers led by Carlos Hyde. So I can't wait to see this game. This is one that I'm going to be highlighting for sure.
All right, and we move on to those 49ers right now in the next wave of games. And this is my lock of the week. The Arizona Cardinals taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Arizona has the largest margin of victory through 2 weeks, and I think they continue that trend. I really like what they've done in terms of spreading the ball around and mixing run and pass together. I got Arizona 34, San Fran 17.
Okay. I think that this is going to be a 21-14 game. I have the Cardinals winning, though. I have to agree. They've been mixing their play calling a lot recently, and that's a credit to Bruce Arians and his staff. This 49ers secondary, they looked confused against
it's a whole new group out there.
Exactly. I mean Tremaine Brock is really the only mainstay, I believe.
And Bethea.
Yeah, exactly. And Bethea from a year ago. So they look confused against Pittsburgh, and if that's any indication of what's going to happen for next game, it's not good because they're going to be facing a rejuvenated Larry Fitzgerald.
Carson Palmer's going to be bombing it out there.
Exactly. So, yeah, I have this 21-14 for the Cardinals. They're going to go 3-0.
Okay, now we go down to Miami. The Bills taking on the Dolphins. Bills coming off a loss. A kind of encouraging loss, I think, though. They gave up a lot of – I know they gave up a lot of points, but they figured it out later on in the game. And Rex Ryan came out after and said, all right, I was too full of myself in this game. I need to dial it back. We need to really take a look at what we're doing here day by day. I think Buffalo takes this one 27-13. I do not like the Dolphins this year. We had the report that Ndamukong Suh wasn't listening to defensive play calls throughout the last game, and that's big because his role in that defensive line isn't to get sacks right now. It's to open up space for Cameron Wake and Olivier Vernon. So if he's not willing to face that role or do what he's supposed to do, that offense or that defense isn't going to work as like it's supposed to. I like Tyrod Taylor to have a good week this week as well.
I think this is going to be a very close game. I think that I have the Bills winning 26-20. We should note that this is Richie Incognito's first game playing in Miami after that whole bullying scandal.
Apparently, it's his first time being in Miami at all.
Oh wow! Okay, so there you go. So this is going to be an interesting little I guess segment for him. But what I'm kind of looking forward to is I want to see a bounce back game for this defensive line of the Buffalo Bills. They really hardly frustrated Brady at all last week. He threw for 466 yards. He really, like I said, he wasn't pressured at all. Brandon Albert, he's questionable from the Miami Dolphins. They're probably their best offensive lineman at left tackle. So if he can't go, or if he's even hampered, then that could spell doom for Ryan Tannehill. So that's kind of what I'm relying on. I don't think that he's going to have a lot of time to take advantage of his weapons on the offensive side of the ball, and I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball either. We've kind of spoken about that last week, or at least on our last episode, that they've kind of struggled to get that run game going with Lamar Miller. So, yeah, I'm going to say 26-20 in a good AFC East divisional matchup here for the Bills.
Okay, now we go to our last game of this window, one of the 4:30 games. And I think we kind of both agree on this. This is the Seahawks and the Bears. The Seahawks are getting Cam Chancellor back. The Bears are without Jay Cutler. Just got word they'll also be without Alshon Jeffrey. You know, this is kind of this looks like it's going to be really ugly, in my opinion anyways, because the Seahawks have just been rejuvenated by this. They also had Jimmy Graham come out and say he hated his role. And, you know, when a guy comes out and says that, a guy as talented as Jimmy Graham, where everybody knows how much they gave up for Jimmy Graham, I think the Seahawks are going to put him in a role he likes. I've got Seahawks 35, Chicago 12. I think Matt Forte might get in the end zone.
Probably late, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I have Seahawks 30, and I have them 10. 10 for the Bears. This is my lock of the week. I think the Seahawks win this. They're 0-2 going into this game, finally coming back to Seattle for a home game. I can't envision the Bears winning in any capacity. I mean, like you said, you mentioned the injuries. Jimmy Clausen starting. No Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, the rest of the wide receivers, the one that we're playing last week, they're all hurt too. So whoever shows up aren't going to be healthy. Cam Chancellor is huge. He's going to want to make an impact from the very get-go. Yeah, this is going to be a really ugly one.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go on to our primetime games now. Night football, Broncos in Detroit versus taking on the Lions. It's going to be a fun one. I kind of get the sense that the Denver defense is just going to be too much for Matt Stafford. I like what they've kind of done. They seem to have, you know, Tate and Megatron are now both healthy. Eric Ebron seems to be chipping in. He's had a touchdown in both of the first 2 weeks. As well as, you know, Amir Abdullah had the big first week, not a big second week, bad second week. But I still have the Denver team. I think that defense is really going to be key. They're going to cut a couple turnovers. I got Denver 30, Lions 21.
Okay. I think this is going to be a very close game, like a lot of these this week. I think this is going to be 21-17 for the Broncos. Yeah, I think that this offensive line hasn't done a great job of protecting Matthew Stafford. There's a reason why he's on the injury report and why some people were speculating he might not even play this game, but he's probably going to suit up and be out there for the Lions. But I think that's not going to be something he's going to enjoy, just because the likes of Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, maybe we even see some Shane Ray, but like the rest of that defensive front, they're going to make it very difficult for him. And when he does get time to throw the ball, he's throwing it to the legs of Aqib Talib, Chris Harris on the corners. Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, both of them have been somewhat disappointing so far this year, just because they haven't lived up to the expectations we've seen so far. This whole offense, really. I mean, Amir Abdullah has kind of been the one bright spot just as a rookie anyway. So, yeah, this is going to be 21-17. We could see the Denver – I wouldn't be surprised if the Denver offense kind of gets started slowly as they have for the past 2 weeks, but I think they do enough to get past Detroit and, you know, go into week 4 3-0.
Oh, yeah, and I think it should be added, too, that, you know, this game is at Detroit. It's a primetime game. There's not a lot of primetime games in Detroit, so this could be, like, the Lions and their fans may step this up and make it interesting.
Sure.
But, I think the Broncos are just more talented right now.
Yeah.
And we go to Monday night, and this was one that I kind of mulled over a little bit more than I probably should have, because I think the Chiefs are going to Green Bay, playing the Packers on Monday night. It's the second week in a row that the Chiefs will play, as well as the Packers, I guess. Well, both teams, second week in a row, playing a primetime game. The Chiefs were really embarrassed the last time, that Thursday night game, you know, and reasonably so, I think that. But that's a huge motivation. When a team gets embarrassed in primetime, that sticks with them, and especially if they wait, you know, our next time primetime game, we're going to get them. They get a shot right away. And not only that, they had the Thursday night last week. Now they're Monday night, so they're going to be rested. I still have the Packers winning this one because I just can't bet against the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, but I think it's close. I don't – you know, the Chiefs don't go down easy. I got Packers 27, Chiefs 20, and they score a touchdown late.
Okay. I have the Packers winning 27-17. You're right. The Chiefs, they're going to be well-rested. It's about 11 days off they've had since that Thursday night game. And Jamal Charles, I think that he could have a huge day. I think that, you know, the Packers did a great job of bottling up Marshawn Lynch last week. But it's going to be a different thing, especially with a motivated Jamal Charles, who knows that loss against the Broncos is essentially on him. So he's going to be motivated to produce. I think he does. But I think that the Packers pull away late. I think that, look, the way that Aaron Rodgers is playing, especially at home, that whole Packers side, I don't know if there's a team in the league right now that can come in and beat them at Lambeau right now. So, yeah, 27-17. I am very interested to see Marcus Peters, who he matches up with. He's been, from my opinion, he's been the leading candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year right now, the way he's been playing these past 2 weeks.
Picking both his first two games.
Yeah.
I think he had a pick in his very first, like, target.
Really?
In the first game, yeah.
That's great. And he obviously had the pick six against Peyton Manning on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
He's a playmaker out there.
I can't wait to see who he's matched up against. I mean, who do you
have? I'd say probably be Randall Cobb, just because he's kind of got that similar spot size speed matchup. But and Cobb is their best guy right now.
Sure.
So, I think you're right. And we've seen a lot of, the first 2 weeks, we've seen a lot of teams not going with this corner versus this receiver every down. We've seen a lot of, corners playing left and right and in the slot and just whoever goes to their spot. So, yeah, I think that'll be another interesting matchup. But
can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it'll be a good – I think, as much as we're on, we can't see Green Bay losing, it'll be a good game.
Oh, I agree 100%. Just like the Seattle game last week.
Yeah, for sure. And so that's all the time we've got for you on this another episode of Between the Trenches. It's our Week 3 preview. Thanks for listening. You can remember to check us out on Twitter and Facebook. Get us on Twitter at Between Trenches and check out our website, BetweenTheTrenches.com. We've got our fantasy picks, our weekly picks up there, and our podcast, of course.
Hopefully we can go 500 this week, right, bud?
Yeah, 500, I think that's a reasonable goal.
After these past 2 weeks. All right, guys. Well, for Mitch, Rob, myself, Dwayne, can't wait to get back to you guys to talk about the Week 3 recap. All right, guys, take care and enjoy the football.
Let me ask you a question. Who could possibly have it better than us?
Nobody!